Time now for hour number two of this weekend's two-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and I'm joined, of course, by the host of the program, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick this hour off with Carol Marks in conversation with Wendell Potter. Wendell Potter is an industry whistleblower and the author of a book titled Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. It's published by Bloomsbury Press, and Carol conducted this conversation recently at the Families USA's National Grassroots Meeting, Health Action 2014, to discuss healthcare that took place in Washington, D.C.
We are talking today to a return guest who's always interesting and has so much to say, Wendell Potter, and it is a delight to have you. You're an author, media analyst, and you're a real watchdog when it comes to insurance companies and the way they've handled healthcare policy customers in the past. Now we have the Affordable Care Act, so do you think we still have to keep an eye on them?
Oh, absolutely we do. We always will. As long as insurance companies are in the mix and Wall Street controls those companies, we always have to keep an eye on them. And that's one of the reasons I decided to leave. I mentioned Wall Street.
Right.
Wall Street really controls health insurance in ways that most Americans maybe not fully realize. And they can, the decisions that they make have been influenced in the past whether or not we were able to get insurance and what it looked like. So we're going to have to keep an eye on these companies for a long time to come.
And I think that sometimes this is a revolving door with the insurance companies, that when they leave and they go to some committee in the Senate or the House or whatever, that can adversely affect some of our health care decisions.
It's very true. It's true. A lot of people who work for insurance companies wind up on staff positions on Capitol Hill or in regulatory offices. There is such a thing called known as regulatory capture, in which regulatory bodies are really controlled by the industries that they supposedly regulate, and that sure happens in insurance.
And that's what does happen in insurance. Now, I wanted to talk to you about one thing that I haven't discussed before on the show, but it is vitally important, and I'm someone who knows, and that is about dental disease, about dental disease and poor children in this country and the devastating effects it can have on their young health.
Absolutely right. This is so dear to me. I come from a really quite poor part of the country, from the southern Appalachian Mountains in East Tennessee, and I know firsthand the devastating effect of poor oral health on people's lives. In fact, I have a column out today in the Huffington Post about the connection between oral health and overall health. A lot of people don't realize how close the connection is, but people can get heart disease from problems to start in your mouth, and diabetes, and you can get an abscess can lead to a brain infection that can be lethal. So it's very important that people know that.
And I certainly know, because I've had learned the hard way that dental abscesses and everything can really give you, inflame your whole body, and people don't realize it. So many diseases can come from dental health.
Exactly right. It starts with bacteria on your teeth, it inflames your gums, and that inflammation can go throughout your body.
It can go through your lymph nodes. It's just absolutely, I have learned the hard way, so I am somebody who wants to fight your fight.
Well, I appreciate that. And the thing is that we don't have access to dental care like we should in this country. About 140 million Americans don't have dental insurance. The Affordable Care Act helps a little bit, but not nearly enough. It doesn't go far enough. So we've got to do some things to help solve the problem of access and costs in dental care. We need to, among other things, figure out how we can expand the dental workforce to include the equivalent of nurse practitioners and physician assistants in dentistry to make it more affordable and accessible. Dentists don't practice in rural and remote areas or parts of the cities where a lot of poor people live. And that's where the problems are at their worst.
Maybe we could do something I've often thought of that would be so great for, you know, our shortage of medical doctors, primary care doctors.
Yes.
With dentists who come out of dental school with, you know, such high debt, and perhaps do something to relieve some of their debt, you know, when they get out, in return for their going and serving in communities that don't have any access to dentists.
Oh, absolutely. It is one of the solutions to try to help get dentists to be willing to, you know, we have hundreds of counties in this country that don't have a dentist, and that would be, that's one of the potential solutions.
When it comes to the insurance companies, what do we need to be looking out for?
Well, we need to be on the lookout for ways that they will creatively try to make us think that the consumer protections in the law are not in our best interest. They're masters at scaring us and making us believe things that are not true to benefit them. They want us to believe that some of the consumer protections will raise the cost of insurance. It doesn't. It might reduce their profit margins, but it doesn't necessarily have to raise the cost of insurance. They'll want everything to be blamed on Obamacare going forward. And it's going to be a handy excuse for them. They can continue to do some things that benefit their shareholders that they shouldn't, but they will point the finger of blame at Obamacare.
Can't they do, you know, in order to cut costs? There are quite a few things that just seem reasonable, like buying drugs at a whole lot of drugs instead of companies buying a little bit here and a little bit there, you know, make their decisions. Bigger ones, like, for instance, you know, Medicare could buy all their drugs, and I imagine that could go over to other big organizations.
Yeah, and speaking of medications, we need to do a lot more to control cost of care, including the cost of medications. The Affordable Care Act doesn't do enough to control cost of medications. The government doesn't have, the Medicare program doesn't have the ability to negotiate with drug companies to reduce the cost of medications. We need to get to a point where that happens. And so there's plenty of work yet to do. The Affordable Care Act was a very good beginning for reform, but there's going to be plenty for us to tackle as we go forward.
And all things, when they start out, have problems, some little, some big, but they can be taken care of.
Yeah.
Did you, after all the struggle, did you ever think that this would come about? Or?
Boy, I tell you, there were times I had my doubts. We've been at this for 100 years, Carol. 100 years. It goes back to Teddy Roosevelt, more than 100 years. Teddy Roosevelt was the first president to propose a rational health care system to try to get to universal coverage. But ever since then, one thing or another has happened to derail that dream. And this was, we came close to seeing it derailed this time. The special interest didn't want this to happen because the status quo has been very profitable for them.
And when, you know, I heard about the Republicans and Democrats got together this time and passed a budget for a certain amount of time without fighting, which was a miracle, you really realized that, wow, there isn't, I didn't believe it, there's nothing in that budget that is going to really harm or defund the Obamacare Act. And I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it's true. I think we're past the danger zone. We're not going to see the law repealed. It's not going to be defunded. It's not going to be declared unconstitutional. It's going to go forward. We just need to make sure that it keeps going forward in the way that continues to benefit us and not the special interest. They will continue to focus on the implementation of it at the state level to try to see what they can do to protect their profits. We got to watch out for that.
Absolutely. And you're going to come back on the program and tell us, you know, in a few months about what's going on, what the new problems are, because I'm sure that there will be some.
Will be.
And what some of the legislative committees in Congress are doing, because they could stir up lots of nastiness, new rules, regulations, and Medicare, Medicaid, they're doing a great job of that right now with all the rules they're passing, some of which you have to come back and talk about them are onerous.
Yep.
People don't know. Something is passed, it's got 1,000 pages, and who knows what's in it.
That's true. I'll be delighted to come back, and we can talk again more.
Okay, thanks.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Wendell Potter in conversation with Carol Marx. His book is titled Deadly Spin. An insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans, published by Bloomsbury Press. You can go to leadingage.com for more information. A Touch of Gray continues in a moment.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of the program, Carol Marx, in conversation now with Wayne Turner. He's a staff attorney at the National Health Law Program, and Carol spoke to him recently about the importance of Medicaid expansion at the Families USA's National Grassroots Meeting Health Action 2014 in Washington, D.C.
Carol Marx here at A Touch of Gray, and we now have the pleasure of talking to Wayne Turner, who is with the National Health Law Program, and I love the initials, HELP, because, boy, do we need that. So many people have problems, can't get the health care they need, and it affects everything, the quality of life. And now we have the Affordable Care Act, which can really help America with its big problem of spending so much money on health care and not ranking very well on what it delivers to people. So, Wayne, you do a lot of work with Medicaid and its expansion. What part of the country do you come from?
Oh, well, first, thank you very much for having me. And, yes, I'm here in the Washington, D.C. office of the National Health Law Program, and we also have offices on the West Coast in California and in North Carolina.
And what do you find, because I know the Affordable Care Act, you know, is designed to help everybody, and of course that includes the HIV community, and have they been getting the kind of care and help that they need?
Well, thank you so much for asking about that. Yes, I mean, the Medicaid program, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with this, but this is the it's a federal and state program primarily designed for very low-income people who are also disabled or pregnant or for children from low-income families. And so for people with HIV, they had to wait until they got an AIDS diagnosis, until they became very, very sick, in order to qualify as disabled and qualify for Medicaid. Well, if they were able to get Medicaid earlier, it would help prevent those infections and prevent those illnesses and keep them healthier longer. This is one of the big boons of important features of the Affordable Care Act in expanding Medicaid to low-income adults. And so now if you're a single adult and you make $16,000 a year, you can qualify under the Medicaid expansion. For people with AIDS, this is particularly important because you can now access under Medicaid medications, treatment services, medical care, and so you know, as a result of the Affordable Care Act, people with HIV are going to be able to stay healthier longer, and that's so important.
It is. And you have been a long-time healthcare consumer advocate. What are some of the other conditions that are going to help low-income families who are able to now, in the states that have approved the expansion, get it?
Well, I think that you identified one of the key issues, and one of the key things that we're working on at the National Health Law Program is making sure that these protections are available across all states. I mean, the Supreme Court has decided that the Medicaid expansion is optional, and so states can decide whether or not they want to accept the federal funding. Remember, it's 100% federal funding for 2014, 2015, and 2016 for states to be able to cover a full array of medical services for their low-income populations. Unfortunately, only 25 states and the District of Columbia have decided to adopt this Medicaid expansion. So we're working with advocates in states across the country in those states that have not yet adopted the Medicaid expansion to make sure that that those residents, those low-income people, can have access to health care without having to rely on emergency rooms, that they can get prescription drug services, that they can get to preventive services, mental health and substance abuse treatment. And remember, these things are all financed under the Affordable Care Act by the federal government. So it's really a no-brainer for states to accept this federal money and implement the Medicaid expansion so that they can take care of the well-being of their residents.
And now, for the first time, we have a lot more people getting help with mental illness which you haven't had before. And, you know, the time that all the hospitals were closed and we were going to have community centers, that never happened.
It never happened.
No. And all the people that are living, you know, on the street, that are homeless with HIV or some kind of mental illness, really cause a big burden for our society and horrific costs when they get sick because they can't go in and get their illness is taken care of when they need it.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, the potential to provide mental health treatment services, substance abuse treatment services to the residents of a state and have the federal government pay for it, which is essentially what the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act is. It's really unconscionable that some governors and state legislators are holding out. I mean, by implementing the Medicaid expansion, Not only will these officials be taking care of their population, but as you said, they're going to be saving money because the burden that's placed upon the communities with untreated substance abuse, with untreated mental illness, with people who are literally dying in the streets, is a huge burden to the communities themselves. I mean, interestingly, one of the biggest proponents of Medicaid expansion in states has been the hospitals, because the hospitals are treating people, but they're not getting compensated for it. And so the prospect of actually being able to bill Medicaid to provide outpatient and inpatient services is going to be a big boon for the hospitals, which is why they are part of a coalition of advocates working at the state level to implement the Medicaid expansion.
Are you collecting some stories about what's happened to some people who haven't gotten, you know, Medicaid? Because I always think personal stories are a way of letting people know. It impacts their emotions, and they get to see what the problem is.
Well, actually, I mean, I've kind of been through this myself. I mean, I lost my life partner to AIDS back in the 1990s. Now, he was asymptomatic for a long time, and so he didn't qualify for Medicaid. So we couldn't access the treatments and the medications that would help stave off different infections. He got very sick very fast and wound up in the hospital in the intensive care unit. And then he, after 3 weeks of that, he passed away. I ended up seeing a bill from that episode, and it was $120,000 that they tried that they sent to me. Fortunately, he was on Medicaid, and so Medicaid and the taxpayers picked up that cost. But it's such when I think about that, I think he might have been alive today if he had had some access to regular access to health services and medications that could have prevented him from getting pneumonia, that could have helped keep him alive, so he didn't wind up in the emergency room. So I've seen this firsthand of the potential when people have access to quality care. It means literally life and death. And so I'm really hopeful that we can see states across, adopt this Medicaid expansion.
And I certainly hope so. And with people out there spreading the word, you know, and testifying before the, the committees, hopefully, because as I said, it just makes so much sense, and people need to see the irony of not doing expanding Medicaid, because it's rationing health care, it's rationing people's lives.
Well, absolutely, and that's why I thank you so much for being here and to your listeners for really putting a spotlight on these issues and getting people educated and informed and really mobilized so that they can affect change in their own communities.
And Wayne Turner, I want to thank you, and I love the acronym for your organization, HELP, and you and your organization are helping people that need it, and that certainly makes you feel good.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Wayne Turner in conversation with Carol Marks, and that conversation took place at Family USA's National Grassroots Meeting Health Action 2014 recently in Washington, D.C. You want more information? Go to healthlaw.org. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who just moments from now will be talking with Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum. She's a national spokesperson for the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women campaign and an attending cardiologist and the director of Women and Heart Disease at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. She's written a book titled Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum's Heart Book, Every Woman's Guide to a Heart Healthy Life, published by Avery. Makes me wonder, Richard, I know you already had this conversation with her, and its world premiere will be happening in just a few moments here on A Touch of Gray. Is there a difference for women than men when it comes to taking care of their hearts?
Sadly, no. You know, that's one of the first things I wanted to know from her, and this is not just a book for women, because men obviously are very prone to heart disease and problems like that, but there has been a rise in the incidence with women, and, you know, my personal theory is, you know, there's more stress. Women are working in the workplace a lot more. There's a lot of stuff flying at you in the modern world, and I think women are sadly catching up with men when it comes to heart disease.
I want to ask you a question that I wonder about. Do you think there's more stress on women in the workplace, or do you think that the women, the mamas of the old days that stayed home and were housewives and cooked and cleaned and made dinners and took care of the kids and did the errands and did the shopping, and really never had anybody appreciate them. In other words, you know, it was mother's job to make dinner. People usually complained about it more than they did go, wow, Mom, what a great meal. I wonder if women were more stressed out and had a worse life back then in terms of the physical results of their day-to-day life than being in the workplace. I do understand, you know, that heart disease seems to be on the increase with women, although I don't know if records were kept the same way in the old days that they are today. But I just wonder whether women physically had it better then or now. What do you think?
I suppose it depends on the health of your marriage, doesn't it? Because if you're happily married and you have, you know, the father knows best, Donna Reed show type family with the kids and everything, it's probably less stress. But in modern marriages, you know, women are expected to, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with expectations. You know, if your husband will just eat anything, doesn't care, will take you out to dinner, is very supportive, then there's probably much less stress. However, you know, as you know, raising kids, no matter what kind of job you do, kids get in trouble, they go through periods, they go through phases, so I wouldn't be surprised if the women of yesteryear were just as stressed out in a different way than the ones today.
I suspect that's the case. And also, it's interesting, you mentioned the quality of marriage. I see a lot of marriages where the woman and the man both go to work, but the woman carries most of the homework, the housework, the laundry, the cooking, anyway. That she has to work full-time and take the lion's share of the homemaker chores, that a lot of men still don't do that. That's just my observation.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are statistics about that.
Even though the man, you know, thinks, well, I'm the breadwinner, the woman is out making money and is winning the bread as well, and yeah, I think you're right, and she's also expected to do the household chores. Of course, modern men now, good modern men, understand that and are pitching in and helping with the cleaning and the cooking. In fact, I see a lot more men cooking these days than ever.
Well, I have taken up cooking and have been doing it more and more, only I don't find it stressful. I find it therapeutic. To me, making a meal is now very similar to painting a painting or writing a story or building something. I find it to be an escape from my day-to-day work routine, but I also find myself being very egotistical about it. In other words, when I make a meal and I invite people over, I expect them to like it. And if they said to me, "You're making this again? You're making this again? Can't we have something better?" I would
like
find that to be tough.
Banquet and Blondie, you know, if Mr. Dithers is coming. Oh, Mr. Dithers is coming for dinner. I've got to make a special meal and everything. And the pressure is on the wife. And if the meal doesn't live up to the standards, oh, my God, yeah, my boss was here and he hated that stuff you made. So,
that's
kind of old-fashioned. I don't know if that happens much anymore.
I wonder. Okay, well, we're looking forward to your conversation. Then on the other side, I want to ask you about some media-related pop culture. So Richard Neer's with us the rest of the way. He'll be with Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum in just a moment when A Touch of Grey continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And as promised, here's our senior correspondent Richard Neer in conversation with Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum. She's a national spokesperson for the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women campaign and an attending cardiologist and the director of Women in Heart Disease at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. Her new book is titled Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum's Heart Book, Every Woman's Guide to a Heart-Healthy Life. Published by Avery.
Let's begin. Is it just for women, or could men benefit from checking out your book?
Well, I have to say I run the Women's Heart Health Division of Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City, and all the male patients that I have came in complaining and saying, hey, we read this, and this is for us too. So I have to say it's for everybody.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. Now, interesting thing I find with this whole heart situation is stress and stress levels. How do you gauge your stress level?
You know, I think that's such a good question, because the reality is we keep tossing around this word stress. Everyone knows about stress. And the truth of the matter is everybody has stress. But not everybody reacts to it the same way or manages it differently. So stress isn't necessarily bad. The question becomes, as you say, how do you know if it's too much for you? And what you really have to take a look at is your life. If your stress is taking over your life, it's preventing you from doing things to keep yourself healthy, that you're overeating instead of making healthy choices, that you're not exercising because you're working too much, that you can't see people, be with friends, or take time to be with family, it's too much. If you can't sleep, it's too much. It's getting the best of you. I had a patient come in yesterday, and I said to her, are you sure everything is okay? And all of a sudden, she started crying, and it's that feeling, I think, that people have that they bottle it inside and they keep it inside, and the second they sit down and someone allows them to really feel their stress and it comes out in tears, that's too much stress.
And so much of stress is internally generated. That's not to say that external factors can't give you stress, but as you say, it's how you handle it. And one of the questions you ask is, what do you really want from life? Because I think a lot of us impose artificial goals that add to our stress.
You're absolutely right. And I think that we oftentimes get caught up in it, that we get caught up in the schedule and the checklist and our, the expectations and what we want to accomplish and all of these things. And if you step back and say to yourself, really, who am I? What makes me happy? What do I want? And is it worth getting stressed over? I live in New York City. I work in New York City. And one of the best examples that I give is rushing to a meeting and being in the back seat of a taxi cab when there's traffic. And I know I'm going to be late for that meeting. Your heart's pounding. You know, all of those stress hormones are running through your body. You're short of breath. You're sweating. Your heart is on overdrive. And when that happens, you take that moment and say, is this worth it? And at the end of the day, is my 10 minutes late going to matter compared to me affecting my heart? And that's what perspective is about, the big picture of knowing how to deal with it. I just rather sit there and sing a song, listen to music, breathe, anything, because there's nothing I could do about it. There's so much that there's nothing we could do about it, that those are the things you got to just learn to let go.
You know, it's funny. I find that sometimes we're sitting in the car and there's traffic on the way to a doctor's appointment,
yeah,
and my wife is getting all stressed out. I say, you know what? How many times have you actually gotten to the doctor on time and walked right in?
It never happens.
You're going to sit there for 10, 15, 20 minutes, maybe longer, before the doctor can see you through no fault of their own. They've got other patients to deal with. So don't stress over things like that.
It's so important. And those are the little things. I mean, those are truly the little things. I think one of the reasons I wrote this book, and one of my, I feel like it's such a blessing, my perspective. I get to see people live through illness. And there is nothing more valuable than your health. There is nothing more valuable than taking care of yourself. And so when you see the other side, you know the little stuff, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. And, you know, I hate to say this, but we're partially responsible in the media for this. A good example is a coming snowstorm. You're hearing all these dire stories about, oh, you're going to get snow and you're going to be trapped and you might lose your power and all this. And people are like, oh, my God. And they rush to the store and buy things. And then, you know, 2 days later, it's no big deal. So, you know, the media kind of fans those flames, don't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's February. It snows. It should snow. Yay for snow. You know, and you do everything you can to stock your house and get water and all of those things, and it's just snow, and it's going to be fine, and we're all going to get through it together. And there's something about all of us being on the same playing field. You know, it's snowing on all of us, and we're all going to be okay.
Well, one of the things I think that you say is very important is recording these details, because it's so, when you see it in print, when you write it down, it's very different than when you think about it or you think you're thinking about it. Even with food, if you write down what you're eating, you're going to go, oh, geez, I eat a lot. I'm not going to do that. So I think writing this down, recording these details is very, very important.
Well, this book, I named it Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum's Heart Book. And what I really talk about in this book is that everyone has to write their own heart book. I wrote down my story, but everyone needs to learn to write their story, and it's about becoming accountable. You know, I think that so many of us, we get home from work, we open the refrigerator, a little bite of this, a little munch of that, and you don't count it. It doesn't matter because it's not on a plate. Well, when you start really recording your life, when you really start writing down everything you eat, everything you drink, exactly what you do, all of a sudden you take a look. And you say, my goodness, I didn't realize exactly who I was. And if you don't know who you are, then you don't know how to become better, and you don't know where to make changes to be as healthy as you can be. And what I say to people is it's not about going on a diet. It's not about starting an exercise program. It's about looking at your life and seeing where you can make small changes just to make yourself healthier. And when you do that, everything changes. And I've seen it in my office, and that's why I wrote the book.
That's Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum in conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Her book is titled Dr. Suzanne Steinbaum's Heart Book, Every Woman's Guide to a Heart-Healthy Life. It's published by Avery. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and Richard Neer will be rejoining us in just a moment. We're going to talk a little bit about the phenomenon of binge-watching television and Netflix and House of Cards and the millennials and all these changes in our pop cultural environment. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, we come to the final segment of our big two-hour get-together. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we continue our conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. So, Richard, we were talking last week about the Oscars. You been watching any television lately? Boy, there's so many different things on TV. There's a medium that's going through changes.
Oh, sure is. And the big one, of course, is Netflix with House of Cards, where they release the entire season at once. And it's given way to a phenomenon called binge-watching, where people are watching 3, 4, 5 episodes at a time, or on a rainy Saturday afternoon trying to digest the entire 13-episode season. And it really changes the way we watch TV, doesn't it? Because it's not appointment TV at a certain time anymore. We can watch it whenever we want.
What's happening today is, and TV viewers are really changing their habits, and this Netflix thing seems to be a watershed in terms of that evolution. It's a watershed in two levels. One, it's a watershed in terms of the playing back something on demand as opposed to appointment TV, as you mentioned. It's also a watershed in terms of a distributor suddenly becoming a producer. In other words, Netflix is now producing shows when, in fact, all Netflix was a distribution arm on the Internet to show films. And that really changes the paradigm of the entire show business aspect of what used to be 20th century, production and distribution. We have a whole different business model happening, and the Netflix thing is a major catalyst of that. But the millennials, the Generation Y, coupled with this binge watching, they have no patience for even having television. They don't even want cable. They're watching most of their TV on things like Hulu and Netflix and the Internet. And what's happening as a result of this new generation and these changes in how television is presented is that the only live TV we're going to have are things that have to be live. People are not going to watch something that was made in Hollywood and is already in the can on Thursday at 8 o'clock because the network tells them they have to. Those days are over. People are not even watching the Tonight Show at night.
Sporting events do so well because a sporting event, you want to see it as it happens. It's very hard to duck the results later on, so you want the immediacy of being able to talk to your friends about it. So I think sports is the one area where you're going to see really live TV that's important, and maybe, things like the Oscars or special nights like that. But for the most part, any other TV show you can get on Xfinity or Netflix later or Hulu or any one of a number of things. It's interesting. The reason I think Netflix did House of Cards, very much like the reason HBO has its own original series, because anybody can show movies. You can get that on just about any platform. But if you're Netflix and you've got exclusive House of Cards, or you're Showtime and you've got exclusive Homeland, or you're HBO and you've got exclusive Game of Thrones and shows like that, you have to have HBO to get it, and that's why people are getting into distribution and producing content.
And in the case of Netflix, we're not talking about cable television. You see, HBO is on cable TV, which is sort of a kissing cousin to, network television. The differences are very slight at this point. As a matter of fact, most over-the-air TV is actually brought to people on cable. It's all cable at this point. So the changes are profound. And you and I have to talk more about this in the future. It's more than time allots, a lot of time to us. Richard, thank you very, very much. Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, joining us at this point in the program every week. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thank you, Steve Wiseman, Kevin Casey, the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. Of course, a giant debt of thanks and gratitude to Carol Marks for hosting and founding this program. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.